Ezekiel 22, John Allfrey, Reprobate Silver. This chapter is closely connected with the previous two and enlarges upon the present sins of Judah at the time the prophet was writing. It shows that the judgments previously announced were fully justified, and the chapter consists of three separate but related oracles, each introduced with the phrase, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying." As in chapter 20, "Wilt thou judge," verse 2, is an impatient imperative and means you most certainly will judge the city of blood. The prophet was to pronounce judgment on Jerusalem to cause her to know all her abominations. Just as God had waited until the Amorites filled up the cup of their iniquity, so there was a time limit imposed on sinful Israel. So the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. And this was because Jerusalem was a city of blood. No less than seven times in these 16 verses, this connection is emphasized by the use of the word blood. The sins which led God to speak of Jerusalem, representative of the people in the land, as a city of bloodshed, NIV, were not confined to murder and manslaughter, but fall into four groups of transgressions of God's law. And the following table summarizes this section, and references are given to the various laws referred to. Verses 1 and 4 to 5, they shed blood by idolatrous worship. Verses 6 to 8, the princes in her had shed blood by making light by father and mother, oppressing the stranger, wronging the fatherless and widow, despising holy things, profaning the Sabbath. Verses 9 to 11, slanderous men had shed blood by eating on the mountains, committing lewdness, discovering their father's nakedness, humbling the unclean woman, committing adultery, defiling the daughter-in-law by committing incest. And verses 12 to 13, they had shed blood by taking bribes, taking usury and increase, and gaining from neighbors by extortion, that is, by oppression. And for each of those categories, there are references drawn from Exodus and Leviticus. Why is it that such a wide range of sins is associated with blood? In the scriptures, blood is representative of life taken violently. After Cain had killed Abel, God said, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Judgment followed. Noah's day, the sons of God, the unfaithful Sethites, had mingled with the descendants of Cain and filled the earth with violence. Like Abel's blood, their violence came up before God and judgment followed. And so in Ezekiel's day, all the sins catalogued in this chapter are sins of violence. Some of them, for example idolatry, involved actual blood shedding, but all of them led to oppression and violence And therefore, like Abel's blood, this violence cried out from the wicked city for judgment. And the underlying cause of Israel's sin was, "Thou hast forgotten me," as Deuteronomy predicted they would. The anger of God, therefore told, because of their abominations, was about to be revealed. "I will scatter thee among the nations and disperse thee in the countries, and will consume thy filthiness out of thee, and thou shalt be profaned in thyself in the sight of the nations, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord." With a slight variation on a well-known prophetic analogy, Ezekiel now expands on the coming judgments. Isaiah had spoken of Israel in his day. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. "Thy silver is become dross, and thy wine mixed with water." The refining of silver was accomplished by a twofold process. Initially, the ore was melted in a furnace and the metallic extract run out and separated from the slag. The slag, or dross, contained small amounts of silver together with the sulfides of copper, tin, iron, lead, and other impurities. As far as Israel was concerned, the metallic extract containing most of the silver had already been taken away by the fire of the previous captivities. What was left in the land was the dross, with its small amount of silver and large amount of impurities. It is this impure dross which appears to be under consideration in these verses. Israel is to me become dross. Jerusalem was to become like the smelter's furnace when God's wrath would blow the fire upon it, like the bellows heating up the dross to melting point in the forlorn hope that a small amount of silver could be retrieved. A similar figure is employed in Zechariah 13 and Malachi 3, but there the emphasis is on the final product, the purified remnant. Here in Ezekiel, the emphasis is on the fact that there was very little silver in the midst of the impure dross, and that more intense heat than normal would be required to extract it. The second part of the refining process, the further refining of the metallic extract separated during the first melting of the ore, was taking place in Babylon. This final stage of purification would ultimately produce a remnant eager to return to the land at the end of the 70 years captivity. And for the most part, those in the land of Israel at the time of Ezekiel were called rejected silver, because the Lord has rejected them. It's Jeremiah 6, verse 30, in the NASB. There are a few problems of exposition in this final section of verse 23 to the end, and little comment is required. God had promised his people, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season." But in the day of indignation, Judah would be a land not cleansed nor rained upon, or with Rotherham, a land that is not to be rained upon nor to receive fruitful showers, which could only be because the people were exceedingly sinful. It should be noted that prophets, verse 25, is rendered princes by the RSV. This is most probably correct, but the prophets are referred to in their turn in verse 28. The RSV in this case follows the Septuagint, which presumably was made from a Hebrew manuscript that read Nasi, prince, instead of Navi, prophet, as in our text. If this were accepted, then the prophet Ezekiel once again emphasizes the sinfulness of the people of Israel at all levels, the princes, the priests, the nobles, or officials, NIV, NJV, the prophets and the people were all guilty of flagrant disregard for the laws of God and wanton pursuits of their own selfish ends. Therefore, there would be no rain. With this prophecy should be compared Ezekiel's later prophecy of restoration. I will cause the shower to come down in his season, which will be when my servant David shall be their shepherd. But that was very much in the future. For in the days of Ezekiel, says God, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The indignation of God to be poured out upon them would be a recompense for them walking in their own way, instead of following the appeal of God through the prophets.